League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Let's get right into it. I'll jump right into it. So Barry, today my guest is Barry Laminek. Barry has his own show called Barry on Deck on YouTube. You can find Monday through Friday. And on Tuesdays, yours truly makes a special appearance at the 3:30, right? The 3 o'clock hour. So
correct. Second hour of the show.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, Barry. Last time you were on, we lost a legend. We talked about that a little bit this morning. John Witherspoon's last interview was this show, and you were the last feature act for him.
Yeah, it's not good for us. That's we're a bad omen. In fact, one of us is probably not going to make it after this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you knew,
I don't know which one of us is the bad omen, but it's not looking good for one of us.
Well, it's funny. He wasn't even the first one to die after doing my show. So he was the second. So it has been a running joke by my audience for quite some time.
So now I'm just praying for technical difficulties. Is there like a time limit? Is this like The Ring where it's like, okay, if I don't stare long enough into the camera at you, I'll make it? Oh, I'm worried.
It's interesting. All joking aside, he was obviously someone we both very much respect.
Yes.
And I am glad to have you back on the show. It's great seeing you. Even though I saw you yesterday, it was great. Check it out. Barry on Deck, YouTube.
Yeah.
And you see
Barry is funny on YouTube. It's the, I need to change the URL. So I had started the channel just when I was doing comedy. And so I just had it as Barry is Funny. And then of course I got laid off from ESPN and started doing a show. And now I'm like, well, I got to rebrand the channel. I got rid of all the comedy. It's all sports and my show. And yeah, so I got to rebrand it. So the channel, technically the URL is Barry is Funny, but if you search for Barry on Deck, you'll find me. Sorry.
Well, sweet. We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but I have a show on ESPN Radio here in Houston, and I don't really know a lot about sports. And there was no prep for this other than pouring some glasses full of booze. So I figured we could kick this show off with some basic trivia, basic rudimentary, I mean, a little harder than just what's a football.
Right.
But we'll take turns round by round. We'll do three rounds. I'll ask you a question about whiskey.
Okay.
If you can somewhat get it, I mean, just right there, get it.
I'm not going to get it.
I'll give it a pass.
Okay.
If you can't get it, you take a shot.
Okay.
Right.
Now, let me, so if I get it, nobody shoots, or you have to do my shot if I get it right?
The shots are dependent on you answering that question.
Okay, so if I get it wrong, I shoot it. If I get it right, nobody has to drink.
No, if you get it right, you don't have to drink, but then you're going to ask me a question.
Gotcha.
And if I get it right, I don't have to drink. If I, we should, wrong, how do we do that?
So it's just, if you get it wrong,
if we both get it right, yeah, if you get it wrong, you have to drink, but if we both get it right,
then we just go to the next round and we stay sober.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Listen, I got a show today. Don't be getting me shithoused. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to curse. Don't be getting me drunk.
You can curse.
Oh, can I curse?
Yeah.
Don't be getting me drunk before my show. I do that on my own now. I have turned into an alcoholic and I'm proud of it. And I do so much day drinking now. It's ridiculous. Although this is the earliest it'll be, but
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock. Yeah, I figured what we can do is it might be typically when it starts kicking in, because we've got a tasting after this game too.
Oh,
we're gonna taste through the bottles I dropped off this morning.
Yes,
and once your mouth starts getting a little numb and you're trying to have a conversation about serious things, it might be a little funny to watch us speak in cursive. So
I just hope you don't say anything racist. That's what I'm worried about. Oh boy.
Well, give it some time. So I'll tell you what, I'll kick it off. And while I kick it off, you go ahead and start thinking of some basic football trivia that anyone should know. And
okay. Now, here's the thing, though. Whiskey, bourbon, I understand it's regional, but sports is a very regional thing. Like if you're from Ohio, then I could ask you, you know, questions about Bernie Kosar. You probably don't even know who that is, but so like it's a regional. Like, where are you from? I need to know this.
I'm from Houston. If you ask me a regional trivia question, like what body part does Deshaun Watson like to show people, then I could pretty much get that question correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So to get kicked off, I'll say round one. And just so anyone wants to know what's in my glass, I made a whiskey sour. Using high proof bourbon, so it's just whiskey, lemon, and a little bit of sugar water, and I've got three pours of it. So all together in these three glasses is exactly 4 ounces of whiskey. So a little more than three shots. Okay. All right. So question number one: what is the minimum age requirement to age whiskey to be called bourbon?
You're not going to give me a multiple choice. I just got to guess it. Okay.
Okay. All right. Hold on. No, I'll give you more.
No. Okay. I'll. Okay.
I'll go
5 years.
No, there's no age limit. It can't be seconds. There's no age limit. It could be five God seconds.
Damn it.
Straight to the throw, buddy. There we go. Oh, man. What a way to get kicked off. Okay.
And it's not even the good stuff. It's just.
No. Jameson's fine, man. Did you see that that Conor McGregor sold his whiskey brand for
$600 million?
Now I don't know that number is accurate. And for anyone who
they both confirmed the number, the buyer and him, the seller, both confirmed the number is $600 million.
So oftentimes with reported situations like with the Joe Rogan deal, it was at least $100 million, but what was reported was $100 million. Even with the what's his name, the beautiful guy that was in Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds' aviation gin deal, it was reported $600 million, but it was actually a little less than that. But okay, so $600 million. Conor McGregor, and for those who don't know, Conor didn't actually have a choice in the matter. Whenever they signed him on the deal, they said that we have the option within this amount of time to buy you out. Mm. Now, so I'm sure he's not complaining because he literally tripled his net worth, but he didn't have a choice in the matter. They were on a time crunch, and they decided to go ahead and buy this successful brand. But go ahead, buddy.
I mean, it's a successful brand, but is it a successful whiskey? It's really not, right? Like it's
no. So by
there's a lot of meatheads out there with Ed Hardy or Affliction shirts and white striped or white thread on their jeans. They're like, I love this whiskey. It's the greatest. But we know. Even I know, even a rudimentary moron like me knows that it's not good. You can just drink it and be like, oh my God.
It's not great, but it is proof. All of the most successful celebrity brands, which a lot of them don't recognize, are the cheaper brands, the longevity mm-hmm. play, right? So his whiskey was 30 or 40 bucks, somewhere in that range, 30 and 40. That is such a reasonable price for a celebrity brand that there's no way it's not going to be a massive success.
No.
And yeah, it's not great whiskey, no.
I have a bottle. It's not close to empty. I bought it because somebody on the show, one of the viewers, I don't know what to call them, listeners, viewers. I'm used to listeners because of radio, but I guess viewers, fans. I hate saying fans. It sounds so
pompous a little bit.
Yes. Fans. I just say community or deckheads or whatever. But they were like, man, you got to try this proper number 12. And I did. I was like, oh, God, that's awful. That is. Yeah. Wow. It's rough. All right. So my question for you, And again, no prep time here. So I couldn't come up with name one of the three most famous number 34s to play in Houston.
This is not even fair. Like, is this a football thing or is it any? I said
there are three famous athletes that wore number 34 and played in the city of Houston.
Let me Google real quick.
No, man, no, Googling.
I'm just kidding.
Don't
I'm just
make
kidding.
Me curse at you. My hands are here. Your eyes my looking. Hands, I hands saw you, son of a. No.
No, so real quick, this is not a football thing. It's a sports thing.
It could be any of the three major sports.
Okay, so a name comes
looking,
to mind.
Are you looking at me on the screen?
I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. Google? Sorry.
Yeah, you eyes on the camera, hands
sorry.
Up.
All right, hands up. A name does come to mind.
Okay.
But if I get this right. Whoa.
You cheated. If you get it right, it's too late now. We know you cheated because you were like, wait a minute. Is somebody feeding you this? Is there a third
swear
person watching? Okay,
swear to God.
Get this right.
I'm going to say Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yes.
Oh, is it really?
Yes. Good job.
Dude, that was a total guess. I swear that's to God, total job. Guess.
That was a layup. That was easy.
Well, so
no pun intended.
Yeah.
It was Hakeem Olajuwon, Earl Campbell, and Nolan Ryan.
Earl Campbell.
Oh my God. You don't know who Earl Campbell is?
That's something to do with, doesn't he have like a meat or a sausage or something?
This is what I sound like when I talk bourbon, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Where's
white Mike? Holy shit. I sound like an idiot.
Where's white Mike? Where's white Mike when I need him? Mike.
To bail you out. Yeah. No, Earl Campbell, he's known for having a sausage. It's like, not what he's known for, though. He was one of the most punishing, devastating running backs in the history of the NFL. His thigh was as big as a tire. Like, this man, he's called the Tyler Rose. He played at the University of Texas. He played for the Oilers for years back in the Love You Blue days. Wow. I'm all amazed right. You don't know this.
So
you don't know what Ryan is, though, right? They both have meat.
You've Nolan never Ryan's had no, like, Nolan Ryan. I've had his steaks.
Had his meat in your mouth.
And I know that every year there's a citywide holiday for that time he beat the shit out of that one guy.
Yes. I don't know why the two of the three 34s in this city reverted to meat when they finished their careers. It's weird. Earl Campbell went to sausages. Nolan Ryan went to meat. Hakeem, I mean, you know, he's a devout Muslim, so I don't think he was going that way. But two of them. Straight to the meat right afterwards. It's kind of odd.
All right. So I swear to God, I didn't cheat on that question. But
totally
my next
cheated. This is rigged. Oh my God. I'm so angry.
My next question is, you have a leg up because I actually mentioned it to you on your show yesterday on Barry on Deck.
Bro, yeah, I don't even remember what we talked about in the parking lot at the mall today. Are you kidding me?
Guns Point.
Remember
yeah.
Remember this?
So
that mall's kind of shit, hadn't it?
Wow. I didn't even know it was still open.
I was like, did people just leave these cars here like it was a post-apocalyptic zombie environment? They were just like, well, this mall sucks, I'm walking home.
And
they just,
I'm out.
There's weeds growing in some of the cars, not the good weeds.
On your show yesterday, Barry on Deck, check it out. Barry is funny on YouTube.
Go ahead and get this ready.
I mentioned to you the very first year that we ever had any kind of bourbon regulation in the United States. And if you can get that year within 5 years, I'll give you credit as getting it correct. The very first year. And let me see your hands because I'll tell you what year.
Now, my gut was like, I'm going to hold the microphone. My gut was to go to the 1920s, but I know that's not right.
That's not correct.
And I want to say it was 1944.
Hold on. It's called the Bottled and Bond Act. Think about what we were discussing yesterday. On your show.
That's
not 44. No, it's not 44. Bottled and Bond Act was the very first legal regulations apply even before bourbon was fully defined by the Congress, which was 1960.
1930.
All right. Last answer.
Just gonna do it.
1897.
No, it was what was I was literally thinking. Well, on the bottle it said 1865. Remember that bottle that we talked about on the show?
Yeah.
Like, it was older. I was like, well, maybe it was that. And I was like, no, because he was like, that's stupid. That wasn't even a okay. I'll just salute.
Cheers, buddy. All right, man. I listen, I really want to drink these. I made a whiskey sour. That's my favorite cocktail.
I have a feeling you're gonna drink them anyways.
I will.
You'd be like, whatever. Wow. So name there was okay, this is a baseball question.
All right.
And it's Houston related. Should be super easy.
Trash
name,
cans.
Name any name any member of the Killer Bees.
Oh.
This is so easy.
Is that referring to, oh, they're probably their last name? Yeah.
It could be. It could be their first name.
How many tries do I get?
I mean, you gave me a couple on the last one. I'll give you one free one. You can miss the first one, but you got to hit the second one or you got to drink.
I feel like Bertrand is a name.
That's not a name at all. There's never been an astro name.
I swear to God, I don't know.
I met a guy named Bertrand at the library once. He's like, "Hello, my name is Bertrand. I've worked here for 90 years."
When you said,
"I've never met a fucking Bertrand in my life."
I know two.
You know two Bertrands? That's two more than exist in the entirety of the rest of this country. How Bertrand?
So when you said 34s, Hakeem Olajuwon immediately came to mind. And when you said the three Bs,
immediately came to Google. Yeah.
Is it three Bs or the Killer Bees?
It's the Killer
Bees. Is there more than, is there three of them?
There was several Killer Bees.
Okay. Yeah. And the first name that came to mind was Bertrand.
And I think what you're thinking of is Carlos Beltran.
Oh, okay. All right.
And
all right,
he was not a Killer Bee.
No, so I should get half credit if he was. Okay.
He was not a Killer Bee. If you're in the ballpark, no pun intended, I would give it to you. But
if I'm in the ballpark?
Yeah. This is it. If you miss this, you got to drink.
Burger.
No.
B-E-R-G-E-R. Burger is not a Killer Bee.
It doesn't matter how you spell burger. Burger is not the answer. You can spell it with an H, a silent X.
Oh, no, Bregman. Bregman?
No, Alex Bregman is not a Killer Bee.
I don't know, man.
The Killer Bees were from the heydays. It was Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio.
Oh, man.
Derek Bell, Lance Berkman.
Berkman, yeah.
Those were the Killer Bees.
Bregman.
God, Bregman is a current Astro. The Killer Bees were a little older.
All right. So
that was kind of a tough one, but I feel like everybody knows who Craig Biggio is in this town, and he was an original Killer Bee. So that should have been that was a medium difficulty question.
All right. I feel like the 34s were harder, and I got lucky. All right, man. So let me see. For bourbon,
mash. I don't know.
Just to start. Oh, great!
Random shit.
Great question.
Barrels.
What is the primary, or what is the minimum mash requirement for bourbon for corn?
I don't even know what mash is. Okay.
It's the recipe, right?
I know there was a TV show called Mash that everyone thought was hilarious that I was like, nope, that's not funny at all.
So imagine if you were making a cake and you needed, 30% of the cake to be eggs, 25% to be icing, and 51% to be wheat. Okay. Flour, whatever. Cakes are made of
wheat. What are you, some hippie?
I don't know.
A wheat cake?
I don't know. They make them with carrots.
This cake sure does taste like bread. Man, this bread cake is delicious.
So for bourbon, there is a minimum percentage for corn to be called bourbon.
What See, is I'm glad that? You said that because I would have thought you were tricking me because I'd have been like zero, but because you tricked me on the first one. So
if you get this within 5%, I'll give you credit.
I'm gonna say 51% because you threw that out.
Fucking guy. I was hoping, God damn it. I was hoping to
some smart people.
So I thought for sure if I had slipped it in and you still missed it, that I could make fun of you for it. But instead it tipped you off. God damn it. All right. Yeah. So that's a tie that round.
Let's go.
Wait, do you have a soundboard set up for this interview?
It's on my mixer, so I have a mixer, obviously, that I use my show. And like, Thank you. And then when you miss yours, I'm just going to hit you. Yeah, I have a soundboard built into my mixer, so if you can hear me, you can hear the sounds on it.
I need to hire you to come get me a setup like that at the house, because that is amazing. I would love to just be able to womp, womp, womp,
womp. When you ask somebody, some idiot, some moron that you have as a guest on your show, some rudimentary questions about whiskey, and he's like, I don't know, barley.
There's barley in bourbon. You got it right. That's the next question. You won.
Yes. I don't have to drink again.
All right. So hit me with something somewhat spicy. I mean, throw a curveball. No pun intended.
Okay. So this one is it's a baseball question again. Should I ask you football? What do you know better? Like, what sport would you know the best between baseball, basketball, and football? What would you know the most about?
My buddy David Zuka, as he knows, he would say that I'm more of a football guy.
Okay.
But even then, this is not a joke, but I was talking to my brother-in-law, Sean, and Devin this past weekend. And as much as I know about football, I play fantasy every year. I make it in the playoffs for our league almost every year. I actually didn't know how the Super Bowl was decided.
Are you serious?
I didn't know that there was four sub-leagues. There's like the AFC.
There's two conferences and four divisions in each conference.
Sub-league, same thing. It's a different terminology.
Not at all.
So I didn't know how that was figured out, and then how that was decided between. And I didn't realize it until it came up in conversation. Then I realized, how do I not know the very basics of how a Super Bowl playoff or the two teams for the Super Bowl is decided. So
I'm amazed at that, by the way, because look, no one expects me to know these unless you are an aficionado of bourbon and whiskey, then you wouldn't know this, right? Like, unless you like, if you were like, hey, what bottles do you have? I was like, Jameson, proper number 12, Bacardi. You're like, no, I'll meet you and bring you some real bottles of alcohol. So I'm like, obviously, I'm like a hillbilly when it comes to this, and not in the good way where I brew my own. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, right?
Sure.
But I feel like everybody grew up with some sports or watched a little bit of sports. Like, not everybody grows up and becomes a drinker or an aficionado. I feel like you should have a basic, like, if I asked you how many teams are there in the NFL, you would have no idea about that, would you?
The number 26 comes to mind.
No. Yeah, 32, no. But that's not your question. Question, you want a spicy one. It's a Texans question. Do you know the Texans? Do you watch
Yes. Texans? Yes. Okay. Yes, 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 yes. I feel
this
good about
that. It
should
be easy. I don't know. What was the first team that the Texans ever played and beat?
Oh, fuck you. What?
This is a family-friendly show, dickface.
Yeah, the answer I want it to be, which I know is not true, is Dallas. Because I think they were in separate leagues, right? Like, they were. Wait, is it Dallas?
Yeah.
It's Dallas.
Nailed it!
Well, oh, shit.
It's Dallas. Yeah, you should have stopped. You shouldn't have been like, I know it's not right. Now you got it. I'll give it to you. It's Dallas. They beat the Cowboys.
The very first time they ever played anybody. The
first game the Texans ever played was against the Dallas Cowboys, and I think it was 19-10 was the final.
Do you know how happy that makes me as someone who just shits on Dallas constantly? Yeah.
First game the Texans ever won. It'll go down in recorded history forever.
I think I know more about sports than I give myself credit for.
I think you do too. I think this was just a ruse to get me to drink extra drinks before you know, we drank.
We were supposed to do a whiskey tasting after this. Keep this going. I'm feeling amped.
Hit me with a backup.
Hit me with a backup question to that one.
Okay. We'll keep it in the Texans.
Okay.
Name one head coach.
Oh no! What's the one that had the heart attack?
In the history of this organization since 2001, 2002. There's been one, two, three, four head coaches.
So I remember there was a moment in time where we really loved the team, and then as a city, and then all of a sudden we kept throwing pick sixes over and over and over again, and we forced
Matt
out.
Schaub.
Yep. Was it Matt Schaub? The name that comes to mind was Carr, but we got rid of him. And then at the same time, like people were showing up to his house, like fucking throwing shit at his house.
Yeah.
And then, the head coach Bill something had a heart attack or a stroke or some shit, and then they fired him. Bill Campbell.
No, you just used a previous last. You should have went with Bertrand. That was closer. No, it was. So the guy that you're thinking of that had the heart attack was Gary Kubiak.
Okay, Kubiak.
And the Bill you're thinking of is Bill O'Brien. There was no Campbell. There was a Dom Capers, which might have been. Was that not good?
I hate shots.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm not a shot guy.
How is this that I'm over here shooting this half-ass drugstore whiskey with no, I mean, I'm like, I'm trying to hold my shit together as I shoot it. Cause I'm like, don't embarrass yourself on a show about alcohol where you do a shot and then you make like, oh my God, it burns. And you're the one making those faces. Now, when we get to the sipping, that'll be me. So when we get to the next part with the actual real whiskey, I'll be the one going, oh my God. Oh God.
All right.
I've trained this gullet to drink this trash and not show any ill effects from it. This is this is almost a year of practice of shooting Jameson at least twice once an hour on a 2-hour show every day, five days a week.
Have you hit 1 year yet with Barry on deck?
May 11th is the 1 year anniversary of Barry.
Dude, can I be on that show? What day is that?
Let's do it. It's like a Tuesday. I'm going to have everybody.
Oh, if it's on a Tuesday, I'm automatically in, right?
Is it a Tuesday or a Thursday?
It's a Tuesday. I'll be on it.
Now, we may have to shorten it because I mean, it's obviously the 1 year. I'll probably do 3 hours and, you know, like soak it all in. I know what. Oh my God, how'd I get here? Thank you. Keep it coming. But yeah, so we'll probably shorten it, but for sure. Even if it was a Thursday, yes, you're going to be on, of course.
All right. I'm excited. All right. So you've got one shot left. I've got one shot left. Let's see.
I don't have a shot left because I'm literally pouring as we go. You said there was going to be three. Do you just want me to drink the third?
Well, you've only had two, right?
You asked me three questions. I got one right. You asked me what was the first one? How much?
Alcohol? But you've only drank two though, right?
Yeah, I've only drank two. That wasn't the point. You've drank one.
Let's get through. I've drank two.
Why are you want me to shoot three shots of Jameson and then start? Bro, I have a job. I mean, it's not really a job, but I have to show prep and then I have to do a show.
It starts at what, one?
Two. How do you not know when the show that you're on starts? That's so disrespectful.
Sorry. I have no concept of time.
So hot in this room. It might be the whiskey. I'm sweating my ass.
I am too. Look how red my face is here. My face is so red.
Look how ugly mine is. That's
but okay. By the time we, at least you got a full hairline, man, dude. Listen, I know people give Elon Musk a hard time, but you should see the before and after pictures. I've been on Propecia for 5 months.
He has,
You've
been on Propecia for 5 months.
Yeah, dude.
Your balls are hairy as hell,
dude. I can't believe I'm going to show this on camera. Hold on.
Oh, please do.
Oh my God. I cannot believe I'm doing this. I'll make it quick.
It's fancy.
Samsung Note something or other.
Okay.
So when I had Matthew McConaughey on the show, he was losing his hair back in 1999 during Reign of Fire. So he shaved his head during that film. And okay, this is so embarrassing. I just saw it on my phone.
I love this. No, this is, dude, this is what the people want. I'm going to show you me dressed up as RuPaul in a minute. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. All right. I just have your wiener tucked back.
I don't do that anymore.
I asked him off camera. I was like, you know, and he talks about in his book a little bit about losing his hair. And he said he went on a medication.
Is that really a good book, by the way? I'm not trying to stray. Is
genuinely
it really
a good book. Okay. Genuinely a good book. Yeah.
People say that, and they know, I think a lot of times they're just, oh, Matthew, it's a great book. This is genuinely a good book.
I tend to be nicer when I'm interviewing the person.
Okay.
There's no chance he'll see this. So I will say that.
So he doesn't watch? What?
That it is genuinely a good book. Okay. I loved it. I finished it in 2 days. But he went on this medicine called finasteride. And if you're, it's long-term medicine, right? So you're on it for a year, 2 years. But usually within 4 to 6 months, you see a difference. Within a year, you see a night and day difference. Night and day. Bro, I'm going to show you a picture right now.
Are you naked in this picture? Why are you so worried about this? Is your dong out? Why are we? What?
Because it's drastically different.
Okay.
It's drastically different. So month one to month five. Month one.
Is this side by side or are you five months in?
Actually, this is 4 months in. Side by side, 4 months in. Same haircut. Same length of hair. It's just harder to tell. It looks like the hair is longer in the second picture, but it's actually the same haircut. Same spot in my bathroom. Same lighting. Same everything. 4 months apart.
Is your shirt on or off?
See, hold on if you can see it here.
Let it focus. Turn it to put it in the middle of the screen close and let it focus. There you go. Oh my God. What? Shut up. That's not the same head.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
That is insane.
Yeah.
So I mean, is now that topical that you put on or is it a pill that you take?
It's just a pill you take every day.
Hold on. Does it make your beard thicker?
I don't know. My beard's always been thick.
Oh, fuck you. I look at this raggedy shit. Like, mine is the worst. Mine looks like my lawn. Like, it's just big bald spots, dead patches, and
that's what I was. It was all different.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I have a long way to go before I'm starring in a major Hollywood film.
You're still on lap two. This is a long race.
I've been in 5 months and
is it prison? You're in hair prison?
Yeah.
I'm doing a 2 year bid. I'm five months in. I'm just every day on the wall. Tick. I just put a little tick mark.
It's just a daily pill, man. You take a pill every day. And
what is it called? I need to know if this works for beards, because I'm telling you right now, Christopher, there's a lot of things I should be embarrassed about. These extra chins, this big nose, it's kind of crooked.
The small penis. Absolutely.
Super small. That would be an upgrade. The one thing I'm most like, you know, look, all of that is how Jesus made me. I mean, Jesus didn't make me with these chins. I made those. But but the fucking beard, I just feel like less of a, like the small penis doesn't
Your
make
beard.
Me feel like less of a man.
Your beard looks fine.
There's no beard here. This is I haven't shaved in like 3-4 days.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, I see
okay.
it now.
All right.
And
all right,
there's just big holes of sadness all in it. Just air. It's just
this, Keanu Reeves style.
I wish I was upgraded to Keanu Reeves. Can I move up to that part of the plane? No, it's bad.
So,
what is this stuff called?
So I ordered it from 4hims.com, which, you know what's really funny? Yeah. So you know what's really funny about this? If you go to 4him.com, it's actually
it's like a lemon party.
And no, it's a church website.
That, by the way, if you're watching this, please don't go to lemonparty.com. Oh my God. Don't go there.
It's a church website, 4him.com. But if you go to 4hims.com, you can get erectile dysfunction. it's a dichotomy. Yeah. The S is the whole difference.
This is it, right?
So
let's see. What is the stuff you're taking?
4hims.com, and it's called finasteride. It's basically Propecia.
Oh yeah. That stuff doesn't work on beards. I look into it.
I was working an aviation job that worked sometimes 80, 90 hours a week. And I just, over long periods of time, it's just not good for your body, man. My hair thinned out, you know, whatever the it just wrecks you, man. It wrecks every part of you. And I finally quit it, and I don't work there anymore. I have a normal sleep schedule. And
good for you.
Listen, the hair's.
If you're getting into this game, your sleep schedule is not going to be normal.
Oh, yeah. You texted me. You were going to bed at 4 a.m. last night. Yeah.
That's awful. And was up at 7. My wife was like, I told her, wake me up at 7. I got to be somewhere. Because that's me. Like, I'll oversleep for anything, especially if you go to bed at 4 a.m. So I literally am on 3 hours of sleep. The grind don't stop. So this says scalp hair is rather unique in that it's non-pubertal hair that is not stimulated by testosterone and is thinned by the effect of DHT. Beard and chest hair are stimulated by testosterone and DHT. In these regions, finasteride reduces the density, but this effect is most often not noticed.
Wait.
Yeah, so if I took it, this raggedy shit would get thinner.
You're saying that I'm going to lose my beard and pubes?
Your pubes. You're going to look like a 7-year-old and a homeless man. Homeless up top, 7 in the basement.
You want to know a little secret time right now?
Yeah. What's up? Let's do this. We're sharing everything. Everyone knows you have terrible hair and I have a small dick. Let's do it. Let's go. I just need another shot for that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. We'll do it all together.
Okay. If you want me to do the third shot, let's go. Boy, today's show, today's Barry on Deck. Everybody needs to go watch it just to see the train wreck that it's going to be. Here's my third one.
Cheers, man. Yeah, I can take a little. I purposely made sure that our shots were not sponsor related because I don't think my sponsors are going to be happy with us doing shots on camera.
Oh, you didn't tell me not to show the bottle. My bad.
No. You could show the bottle. Yeah, Jameson's not a sponsor.
No, it's Jameson. It's not even. Jameson. It's a. Yeah, the J is an H. It's a Mexican bourbon.
So I have no armpit hair and very little pubes, just naturally.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not a hairy dude. I mean, you can look at my arms. I'm not a hairy guy.
Oh yeah, same. No arm hair. You know, no leg hair.
Typical white guy stuff, like typical white guy family. I'd be like, Dad, why aren't I hairy? He's like, we got Indian in us. I'm like, no, we don't. There's just bad genes. It's just bad genetics. No, every white dude, whatever is wrong with them, they're like, oh, it's because I got some Cherokee in me. No, you're just genetically weird. That's one not of my, how that works.
One of my most favorite things in the world, just the asshole in me, is when someone for years says, oh, we have Cherokee, we have Native American, we have this, we have that. And then they get 23andMe done or Ancestry.com, and it's zeros. My sister-in-law.
Every white family in America right now, because it's that white guilt where you're like, man, I hope we have some Indianos. We kind of stole their shit. Oh, boy.
My sister-in-law for years, and she's the youngest. So when she was a kid, you have to just shake your head and be like, yeah, cool. But now that she's an adult, a different sister got her ancestry or 23andMe done. For years, she's like, oh, we're Native American. We're like half Native American. We're 70%. And that number would fucking grow over the years. It would be we're 70%. No, you said half before. I remember from before.
We're 130% Waxahachie. No, that's not – you can't even be that.
She got 23andMe done, and it was all zeros. It was just like, you're the whitest person we've ever had submit DNA samples to.
Cracker bitch, that's what you get. The best, like, most, I don't know why white people hang on that. It's like they're like, ugh. Like,
oh, hey. Because it makes us like somewhat complicated, right? Here's like, it's what like,
I knew.
Oh.
Based on a previous conversation, I knew I was going to come back with nothing from Africa. I was like, I've seen it. There's no way I have any African blood in me. It is, maybe Asian, maybe some Asian blood in there. Definitely not going to be anything from the Congo. Definitely not from that. Dude, I was like, so my family, we were told, oh, your grandma or your great grandma was a Cherokee Indian. That would be like what? Because I was told, like, this is how white people do it. I don't have enough to get a scholarship, but I should, right? Like, that's what we base it on. So I was told we were like 132nd or 164th. Dude, there was nothing. This is the biggest sham the white man has ever pulled, trying to claim some ancestry shit. Just, we're all European. Get over it. just deal with it. We're all from England and Scotland and Ireland and Germany, which is where I'm from. Mostly Germany.
All right. That's inspiring. Three different stories. So,
okay.
First, my youngest brother and sister are what you would call in today's society white presenting. But both, they look white. They look white even though their heritage says otherwise, right? Okay. White presenting.
I'm looking that up. I've never heard that term. That's fascinating. Let's
just assume, like Tom Segura. Tom Segura is half Peruvian, but if you look at him, you assume he's just a white guy.
Okay.
He's white.
Okay.
So he's Louis C.K. Presenting. Yes. Louis C.K. is half Mexican, but Louis C.K. is white presenting.
Ronda Rousey.
What?
Yes. She has like a great grandfather who's black.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Ronda Rousey, black. What was it? I'm Googling as we speak. Great grandfather. Ronda Rousey's great grandfather was a black history pioneer. Isn't that crazy? And you look at Ronda and you're like, she's white presenting. I didn't know that was a word.
So I will tell you that there is something about her. If you look at her, she does have a touch more, like you look at her, a little extra melanin.
Okay.
Melanin. There's some color there. Like, yeah. I've got a buddy of mine.
You're like, you're always tan, girl. Are you out in the sun? I'm adopted.
I've got a buddy of mine who I grew up with in La Porte, whose family, something's there, right? They're from Louisiana. And you're like, he's like, no, I'm white. I'm like, no, you're not white, man. Like, man. you're from Louisiana, and you're the darkest white person I've ever met.
You're not.
That's good. Yeah, Derek. I mean, come on, Derek.
LeDerek, you're not. For real. No. I saw you at the family dance. You were the only one on beat. There's no way. Everybody else was on it in their own rhythm. You were in tune with the music, LeDerek. There's no way.
LeDerek. No, there's the counter argument there is I've seen his penis, and he's definitely not black.
He's definitely 100% Laminac.
Yeah.
tiny guy.
He finally, I called it when we've been friends for 20 years. I called it when we were 19. I said, dude, someone in your family down the line, someone was black. And he got his 23andMe done, 22% black.
Wow.
And I was like, dude, that's so awesome.
It's cool because I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
I think it's cool because, you know, now there's the whole like, the government's tracking us, don't do it. But what's really cool is that you get to learn about your true heritage. You get to understand where you're from and you get to learn about yourself and other people. And you're like, oh, wow, I had no idea I was, you know, 22% this or. And you start to open yourself up to other cultures, and that's important, right? Like, I mean, we're making these jokes, but just to be able to say, wow, I had no idea. Let me research that part of me that I didn't know existed. And you kind of become more culturally aware. So I think a lot of what the progress we've made in that side is really cool. It's really interesting.
I look at it kind of like the vaccine. That was...
Did you just make it French?
Hold on. I'm sorry. The vaccine.
Trying to make it vaccine. Fancy. Hey, the rest of
Tarjay. Yes. The vaccine. I look at it like I've had a vasectomy. I'm not having any more kids. Mm. My life is forfeit. If the vaccine causes problems later, I'm okay with taking it.
My life is forfeit. What?
But I'm trying to say is like. Even if the government is tracking us with the 23andMe, mm-hmm. at this point, who cares? Like, let them track me. Like,
trust me, Facebook knows way more about you than the government does. If you're worried about the government, you're worried about the wrong ones.
Right.
You need to be worried about Facebook and Google and Twitter and the like. Yeah, the government's the least of your worries. That's a great point.
You get to find out more about your genuine heritage. I found out I have 0% Asian, 0% African, and 1% Hasidic Jew. And with this hair, I kind of get it.
Did you think you were more of all those? You're like, I'm definitely Asian. I mean, just
no, like, Norwegian, Irish
face. I'm 100% ninja. I mean, look at me. Like there's definitely, this face screams Japan. No, like, why did you think that?
No, I thought I would be more diverse, but it's largely Irish and Scottish and basically.
Let me tell you how surprised I am to find out you're Irish and Scottish.
How surprised are you?
A redhead that likes whiskey and bourbon? Super surprised.
What? Dude, everyone in my family is super alcoholic. So yeah, it's like wow. Right there, right?
And loves potatoes. Big yeah, yeah. Shock. You know what's funny is I get asked a lot. First of all, because of the way I talk and the way that I sound, and it has a lot to do with my friends and growing up and stuff, but I was doing a comedy workshop where I was on stage and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm just talking about how to be a comedian and for new comics and how to come up in the world and this and that. And this lady in the back is like, do you ever get discriminated against because you're black? I was like, who are you looking at, lady? What? Like,
I swear
to God, this lady asked me, have I ever been discriminated against because, and I don't know if she just didn't have her glasses on and was just listening. Cause I get it. People, even on the radio, people would be surprised when they meet me. They'd be like, you're white?
So you have Sean King vibes.
There is 0% African or black.
Same with Sean King. if you knew how funny that is tremendously funny. But if you look up Sean King on Instagram, go ahead and pull him up.
Yeah, he does. What do they call him? They call him Talcum X.
Talcum X, yeah. So you do have, if you really were to dress up the facial hair a little bit, you do have some, like there is, I could see it. There's a little.
So the reason that, because this will be said, and I don't subscribe to the notion of sounding black, but coming up in high school.
Why like, not? Why not?
Because I don't think that's a thing.
Let's get into it, bro.
Do we say, oh, you sound white or you sound, I mean, like that's.
Have you ever heard the phrase that you can't have your cake and eat it too?
Hmm.
Right, so we have one section of the population who wants to say that, hey, these are definitively black things, right? Like there's people who get in trouble for wearing large hoop earrings because this is a cultural appropriation of Latin flair. Dreadlocks, cornrows, these are a cultural appropriation of black flair, right? So we like to say in today's society that there are attributes that are definitively black. But when a white person says that you sound black, or when a black person tells another black person that you sound white, you can't have it both ways.
Black people that tell me I sound black.
Right. But I just mean you can't have it both ways. Like there are, I think it's very reasonable. One's considered profiling and one's considered racist or racial. But there's also a whole section that want to say that these things are definitively black, so we should... So you can't do this because it's cultural appropriation. I don't understand why we.
No, you're making a valid point because, like I said, in as a joke, but it's absolutely serious. There are a lot of African Americans that are fans of mine, or listen to my show, would listen to me on the radio. You know, I did 7 years on ESPN, 3.5 at midday, and people would call all the time or be like, they would, you know, because I think people Google their radio people that they listen to, they want to see what we look like. And I would literally every day the text line would be like, dude, I just Googled you. You're white. And it would be mixed between half white people, half, you know, African-Americans that would make that assessment. So I don't think it's totally, but I don't think that sounding black is a thing, because if you're black and you don't sound black, what does that mean? I think it has more to do with maybe something in society as opposed to skin color. If that makes more sense.
Yeah, I just, in my mind, I think it's okay to acknowledge even the very basic stereotypes, regardless of what they are, about white people, about whomever, are based in a seed of truth. That's why they are what they are. They're a thing that we talk about in our culture. And there are people who want to act like, oh, you sound... Like I have black friends that are, you know, very well educated and would talk white, and I see them post on Facebook about
Let me just stop you there. That's the problem, is because we associate sounding white with educated.
Right.
And sounding black with not educated. And it has nothing to do with education. And has everything to do with
culture
and our environment, right?
Because absolutely.
I know a lot of white people that sound white that are fucking idiots. Okay. So let's not pretend like the way you sound correlates to the, but that's the problem that we associate with is, oh, he sounds smart. This is what I hate. I hate this so fucking much. I get so angry when somebody, the only time we ever use the words well-spoken or what's the word? You always hear this when they describe a black person who sounds white or sounds educated. They'll say,
It happens with sports all the time where they say he's
articulate.
So
articulate. You'll never hear a white person described as articulate. Think about that for a second. The only time that word is ever used is when a black athlete or somebody that's black or African-American is talking in public. They go, wow, I really like that guy. He's nice, articulate. You'll never hear a white guy described to that. And that's the bullshit. That's the difference between culture and stereotypes and race being involved in it.
Well, all they're doing there is they're outing themselves as assuming that black people aren't articulate.
No, right. They assume that because if you don't sound white, that you can't be educated.
Sure. Great. And that's what I'm saying. I agree with you completely. It's they're outing themselves as saying that their expectations were this and they're surprised by that.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying that I know so many people who are far more educated than I that are black, that talk with a black flair, whatever the respectful way to say that is. Yeah, differences.
I understand. It's hard for us as white guys.
It's 100%.
I talked about this on the show the other day, I said, listen, there are people that are getting canceled and called out for trying to do the right thing and say the right thing. And they struggle with that because this is we are all walking on eggshells right now, trying to figure out what do I say to support and be a good person as a white person? Because you feel like sometimes you say something that you're either going to get called out for, or you might make a misstep verbally. I get it, you know, but I think if the intent is real, and I've always said this, you'll hear people say something where you're like, oh, that was so cringe, or they're going to get canceled for that. I think it has to do with what's in your heart. If your heart is genuine, even if you have a misstep in your words, Lord knows I've said some shit that I think if other people were to have said it, would have gotten them in trouble. But I think people know what the intent is. If you ever listen to my show or listen to me, right?
And that's part of the reason why I think we've kind of gone astray is because, look, if anyone sticks their foot in their mouth, I've been married for 15 years. I've been with the same woman 15 years. Ask her. I've stuck my foot in my mouth a billion times. Yeah. But language is supposed to be about intention, right? So if I tell you, if I say, hey, Barry, can you hand me that green thing behind you? And you grab the wrong thing, and I would tell you, no, not that thing, the other thing. It's about what I meant, not what I not what you misinterpreted. Yeah. And I think that's where we get lost, is sometimes people are trying to say something, and they're trying to say it in a way that's clearly not derogatory, clearly not offensive, but it's being turned into an offensive thing. It's like, well, no, it's not what I intended. It's clearly not what I intended.
Sometimes, but I think you have to judge what's in their heart, right?
Like, case by case basis, for sure.
Yeah, because you can tell intent. And I think you have someone who's trying to do the right thing, but maybe says something that they didn't realize was inappropriate. I've always said this too, and I know we're getting like way off on tangents.
No, it's okay.
But I think you're exactly right that it's intent. And I've always said, look, people can say something racist and not be a racist. There is a huge difference, right? And that comes down to intent. One person just is ignorant. The other one is filled with hate. And that's a very large chasm, I think, a lot of times, because people want to do and say the right thing, but they were used to a culture where you could say the R word, right? You could say, oh, that's gay. Like, those were things that we grew up saying that we didn't know were inappropriate and hurtful. And now we do. And we're trying to fix it. We're trying to make it
especially
right.
Especially for 90s kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked about it on the show. I was like, man, I used that. Dude, it was nothing for me, especially growing up, because going way back to where this started, most of my friends in high school were black. Like, most of my girlfriends, like pretty much for most of my high school, I was immersed in hip hop culture and all my friends are African American. So like, I grew up around that. Right. So that's why I say it has more to do with culture than with race.
Sure. Right?
Like if you had a white guy, I know black guys that grew up in the South that sound white.
But well, that's where acknowledging your privilege is something you should do, right? So,
yeah.
But the same level of effort for someone to acknowledge your privilege should also be some privilege where those shots are kicking Bakeen. In. Yeah, Bakeen. Bakeen Olajuwon.
What number?
Yeah. 34?
Drink! No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. goddamn soundboard is the best thing that's ever been added to the show.
It's so great.
I would love for... So we added a... quick side note. We added a producer mic to the podcast so that our producers can chime in. I would love that as soundboard. So just so he could like, you know...
Point Chris just made. Fucking idiot. Like that would be so great. Especially if they could do impressions like Morgan Freeman.
Boo. Yeah.
This guy right here.
The same level of effort that the sender of the message should send, which is, you know, acknowledging my privilege and where I come from, should also be afforded the same level of forgiveness and understanding where they're coming from as a bit of, you know, their perspective versus your experience. I totally agree that we should, acknowledge cultures outside of ourselves, but it drives me nuts when it comes to these whole the acknowledging, like you said, talking black or speaking white or like it's. So I think it's okay to acknowledge these things and not treat it like it's a.
Well, like I said, I
an affront.
Yeah, it's intent, right? Like I think if white people and black people on a daily basis will tell me the same thing. And none of it is malicious, right? Like, you know, it's malicious when they're like, you sound like an N-word. You're like, whoa, okay, that's a bit different. That was not okay to say that, right? And I have had people say
that
to me.
A black person saying it to you or a white person saying it to you?
A white person. No, like a black person never. Now, you know, side note, yeah. Well, I have a lot of like African-American comedians that'll call me that as a term of endearment, like I'm just a, you know, a friend, and then they'll apologize.
Which, by the way, doesn't that feel so good? Feel so good? like nothing.
You made it. You're just like, oh, I'm fucking cool.
Nothing in this world means more to anyone than black approval. Is the best.
One of my good friends in comedy, Crystal Powell. She is a beast. She is hilarious. She is a monster. She's touring. And we were talking, and she must have called me the N-word like 6 times. She's like, I am so sorry. I was like, girl, are you kidding me? I'm on cloud 9 right now. I am living the dream. What? Yeah, no, it's, you know, and that's the thing. Like, I think it is all intent, right? It is all intent.
And, It should be.
Yeah, and I that's why when it comes to race and issues and discussions, we've probably made some missteps in what we're trying to convey. But I think people that would hear this would know, you know what? There's no malicious intent. They're trying to have an intellectual conversation. Maybe they have some ignorance in some of their statements or perceived ignorance, if that's the case.
Sure.
But I always step back from this. Dude, I've been passionate about race and racism and racial injustice. This isn't something new for me. I wore a fucking Martin Luther King shirt and a Malcolm X shirt to school in 1988. Like this isn't a fucking
God. How me, right? Fucking old are you?
I'm 46.
Jesus, man. I swear to God, if you had said 39, I would have bought it.
I'm 46 years old.
Yeah. I'm 33. I think you God might damn, be old enough to be my old. Dad. You might be old enough to be my dad.
Fuck you. Oh my God. This interview is over. I'm turning my camera off.
No, listen, one of my early business partners was a black guy, and I've never had to face the reality of my position in the world from so many different angles than when being in business with someone who's black. And he's a great guy, and the dichotomy of like, you know, Stacey Adams a couple years back went on this huge thing. You remember her from Clueless?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the shoemaker.
No. I think it's Stacey Adams. I might be no, I, shit. I, now I'm thinking it's the shoe company. So she was the
Is it? No, it's not. It's not Stacey Adams.
Not Stacey Keach. No, not Stacey Keach. That's the guy from. What's her fucking name? Okay, hold on. Just Google the cast of Clueless.
Yes, Clueless.
The cast of Clueless.
She's so fucking hot too.
She's Stacey so beautiful. Stacey Dash. Stacey Adams.
She is so hot.
Jesus Christ!
She's
horrible.
She's a whack job. She's insane.
So yes, she's beautiful. A few years back, like 2015, 2016, she released some statements that were very controversial. Yeah. And I was playing devil's advocate, and I really shouldn't have been. And I've learned since then.
Well, that isn't devils. Now, listen.
So, and I know you got to go. I'll make it fast. So she released some statements about there not being a need for Black History Month and blah, 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 and all those other things. And I was playing devil's advocate. And then my business partner at the time, who's a great guy, he really is a good guy. His name is Yawante Curry. He reached out to me and was like, hey, man.
You need to delete that shit, bro.
You need to shut that shit down right now. He's like,
fuck up. Yeah.
He didn't even necessarily disagree with me, but his entire circle was like, you're in business with this fucking guy. So I had to take a step back and just reevaluate how these things are perceived from different perspectives, and vice versa. Like we went to another competing whiskey event, right? So we've got our whiskey event, we went to a different competing whiskey event, and they pulled him aside to give him a hard time about being in business with a white guy, just the fact that I was white. And he cried that night. He didn't do anything. He was just trying to start a business. Really? And just the position he was in was, he felt really kind of defeated about the whole thing. And so I have never seen as much perspective as trying to put myself in his specific set of shoes of being someone who's trying to exist in both worlds and not be immediately vilified or stereotyped on either side. I have never felt more sad and more like I thought I had perspective. I have zero perspective. What he goes through on a daily basis is something I will never fully understand. And so ever.
If you're not black, we can say like, oh, I grew up around black people. You don't know the difference. I mean, I tell the story. I've told it on my, it was in relation to my mom being a crazy person, but I tell the story of how me and five of my best friends in the world who were black were driving back from the mall, got followed by a constable, followed me all the way to the house. And I'm like, why is he following us? My ignorance as a white guy, why would a constable be following us? I haven't violated any traffic.
They're hey, like, man,
bro, you're in a car.
Get off my ass, bro.
Yeah. You're in a car with five black dudes. That's why he's following you. And I was like, what? We get to the house and we go and they run inside to the house. They're like, bro, they go inside. I'm like, what's the big deal? Like we really, as white dudes, as white people. And I know people like, oh, what the fuck ever. I'm telling you there, you do not understand. And this is why there is such a movement right now in this country to fix this, because it's like, there has been this disconnect between races, and we've talked about racial harmony and we've tried to make things right. But there is still such a disconnect. You have kids, Chris?
Christopher? Four.
Have you ever had to sit down and talk to your kids about how to handle themselves when they get pulled over by the cops?
Never once. Keep
their hands on the steering wheel? This is conversations that black parents have with their children. And so again, and people are going to hear that and be like, fuck this show. Fuck Chris. Fuck Barry. I don't want to hear this. Then go keep your head under the pillow and bury it in the sand. But the fact of the matter is, as a white person, you do not know what it's like to be black in this country right now.
So
my message is just try to have a little bit of understanding. I'm not telling you to change your views politically. And if you're far right, be far right. But all I'm telling you is, it's the same thing as if you were Jewish in Germany. It's the same thing if you, like, when there is
Irish in the early 1900s. Like,
when there is systematic oppression,
sure.
You are not the one being oppressed. You have no idea. That's the point.
Well, you know, I thought we would get through a whiskey tasting.
We didn't even start. We did none of this. I went out and bought all of these fancy bottles of stuff.
Did you? Spend so much money on them?
Listen, okay.
I'm okay with this show evolving as it needs. So just
is this good? I don't know what any of this is.
That's 19.
Let's go. Do you want? I'll go to 12:30 if you can go to 12:30.
I can go to 12:30. We'll go a little long.
I'll do a little long. The show is going to be awful, but I need every person listening to this to go watch because the views are going to be terrible today because I'm going to be shit faced. So
I disagree.
All the white people that didn't turn this off after we told you to fucking get your shit together.
So the what I sent you or what I dropped off this morning, this I sent so you a few fancy. Things. So you know what that is? Look at it.
Do I have to give all this back, by the way?
No,
I feel
no.
like I'm sitting on a gold mine here.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, drink it on the show. So you see that? That's a Ruth Bader Ginsburg bottle. The one with the doily on it. That one.
This one?
Yeah, look at it. Doesn't it look like Ruth Bader Ginsburg to you? That looks exactly like her. So that bottle.
Are you still being racist?
No. First of all, I think she's white. I'm pretty sure she's white.
It was a joke. there it is. RBG.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's this fantastic group out of Dallas.
The feminism.
It's a national group called Someone Say Whiskey. They did a barrel selection of double oaked Woodford Reserve, and they, in honor of her, they wax dipped it through the doily around the neck. She lived an incredible life. Her story is absolutely fantastic. And so I thought I would gift you that bottle to drink on your show.
Am I supposed to smell the cork? Listen, smell it. This is all it's great. Like, the history is great. I just need to know
what you're supposed to do.
Shit. Yeah, I don't give a shit about any of the history of this, right? If I'm being honest, okay, it's a white lady. Cool.
So just so you know, the proper way to smoke corks in whiskey is to hold it above your nose and to go up.
I feel like you're fucking with me now.
I am fucking with you. I'm fucking with you.
Son of a bitch. You know I don't know any of this. You'd be like, well, listen, the way we do it now is you want to take the cork and you gently, you don't want to rupture
it. Rub it on your tank.
Put it in your butthole. And then you'll absorb it faster. I mean, you've heard of butthole shots, right? It's the same thing with whiskey. Sit on the cork and eventually you'll taste it. Don't mess with me about this shit. I have no idea. Do you sniff the? It's not a thing. You don't sniff the cork. I feel like. All right, I got my stupid ass non whiskey drinking glass.
Yeah, I gave you a Glencairn and you broke it. I gave you a Glencairn and you broke it.
Is that what it was called? I thought it said the prideful goat on it.
Yeah. So
Glencairn, it said the prideful goat.
The type of glass.
Give me a little fucking credit.
I'm working on. Listen,
my job is to make jokes.
It's the shots. I had the shots earlier.
Yeah, my job is to make jokes, goddammit, roll with them.
At this point, Jack is going to have a lot of editing to do because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Okay, so am I doing the RBG?
RGB. Do the RGB. Rabdar Gab. Read a book. Get a book. Do a report.
No, you don't get the buck before you do the report.
I don't know.
What kind of privileged ass high school did you go to? All right, I don't have much in here, but I just have enough. What am I doing here? Am I going to actually taste Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Yeah. It tastes like mothballs.
Me and her husband know what this tastes like. That's going to be the line that gets us canceled. All the shit we talked, and that was the one.
Absolutely canceled. So that's a double oaked barrel of Woodford Reserve.
Now, you've taught me how to drink this in the past.
I did. Do you remember?
Let it in the mouth. Let it marinate. These are not the technical terms. I'm talking to my people watching this that have no idea about how to drink a bourbon or a whiskey.
You got to
let it enter you slowly.
Let it enter you slowly. Leave it in the front of your mouth. It's going to coat your tongue, and it's going to literally make you start drooling.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then once the burn is sustainable.
This is really good.
Then you swallow, right? So our culture in America is all about doing shots and getting fucked up and all these other things.
It's basic white girl culture. That's what it is.
But the secret...
we're all basic white girls at heart.
But the secret to sipping whiskey is very simple. You just leave it in the front of your mouth, take smaller and smaller sips until it becomes easy to manage, and then you're going to take larger and larger sips. It's really...
No, this is... I'm actually enjoying this. You know, the last time I was on your show, God... rest in peace to John Witherspoon. I'm not even Catholic. I don't know why I did that.
Oh, he was so fun to drink with too.
But that's when you taught me how to drink whiskey. And since then, when I do, like if I'm not shooting Jameson on a daily basis, I'll do that. I don't do it a lot like you. I mean, when we met in the parking lot, you were literally just 24/7. Do you, are you ever not drinking whiskey, by the way?
Wait, was I drink? I didn't drink when I got there.
You had a Camel Pack on with a straw and you were like, I'm just letting it sit right here. I'm just letting it.
So you made a joke right now, but I actually questioned whether or not I actually had a drink in my hand because I couldn't remember if I brought a roadie with me.
This is the scary part. you had a Glenfiddich. What is the name of the glass? You had a Glengarry Glen Ross.
I had a Glengarry Glen Ross in my truck.
I don't have a fucking, I see you with the fancy glasses. All I have is like a rocks glass and a beer glass, shout out Beer Chronicle, but I don't have, you're like, I got you, fam. I'm like, why the fuck do you have one in your car in the cup holder?
Okay, so to be clear, it wasn't in the cup holder.
Like, it's dirty. Yeah, no shit. You've been drinking out of it in your car.
No. I had an Alec Baldwin in my car because when I leave the studio, because
that sounds like a sex move. Is that like a Alabama Hot Pocket? What is an Alec Baldwin?
And Alec Baldwin is when we have sex and you pretend to be Spanish, but you're not. Because his wife.
Literally the funniest thing I've ever said.
Because his wife.
Poppy. No. Listen.
That's where you call me Poppy, but you're not Spanish at all. Yeah.
Sue, it's not going to work. Hi, Poppy. No, you can't sound like Edith from All in the Family doing an I, Poppy.
So his.
Oh, that was so goddamn funny.
Whenever I leave the studio, I normally bring, because I can't leave any open bottles at ESPN because they'll get drank. So I bring everything to the studio.
Like, whoa, look what I bought. You didn't buy that. You're too goddamn cheap, radio guy.
Especially Fred. Especially Fred. Let's be honest.
It's awful.
He
needs an intervention on air.
He's going all in 7-2 off suit and still chugging whiskey. Worst poker player of all time.
So I said, hit me. What? It's Texas Hold'em. I know. Hit me.
Okay. I heard him say go fish once.
Here's the flop. Go fish.
Jesus, this has got to be the worst episode we've ever done.
Or the best. One of the two. You're so canceled.
So I had all these glasses.
Listen,
in my...
Listen, if you stop watching Whiskey Neat, go to Barry on Deck. No, sorry, go ahead. So you had these glasses.
Explain. I had the glasses in my truck. They were. Yeah, no, I was not drinking and driving. I was not driving. I do not do that. I do not condone that. Thank you, my sponsors. Who the fuck and is that guy? But the is that Conor McGregor?
Who the fuck is that guy?
So you weren't drinking and driving.
I wasn't drinking and driving. But oftentimes we'll take glasses to the show and then bring them back. So you had a dirty glass from a dirty show.
Okay. And who pray tell, I broke the glass trying to clean your
pretty amazing because those glasses are not cheap. But if I had to guess, it had to be from the
that's
last.
That's my bad. Look, if they're not cheap, then maybe they should be a little more sturdy. Guess what? Never broke this glass cleaning it. I took the little plastic sponge thing and tried to put it in the hole, which is not, by the way, not good with the aim. But I was trying to clean the tip. This sounds so sexual.
This
right
is
now.
Awful. This
and
is
I
awful.
I was jamming it in the hole and it broke.
Yep. Yep. I thought that
section of that show you, it just literally cracked right down the middle. I was like, what a cheap fucking glass. And I threw it away. I don't know. Look out.
Section of that story was more sexually aggressive than the next.
You hear that? Nobody's doing that on a Glengarry Glen Ross.
So that is...
This is legit good, but I'm going to pour it out so we can do another one. Let's go.
Yeah, so that was a private... It's only like one of 200 bottles, give or take.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I sell this like a Top Shot?
Not that it's open.
Is it? Can I NFT this and sell
I mean,
this?
You can NFT anything, right, with a serial code?
I feel like... Really? One of 200 bottles? I'm fancy.
You know, I wanted to ask you about this.
Y'all
so we
can't
talked
fuck with me on Barry on Deck. I'm fancy now.
We talked to you about this on your show yesterday about the concept of NFTs.
Yes.
Do you think...
Boy, sorry about the burps, by the way.
...that the next realm of NFTs will be celebrity sex tapes? Right? Ooh. So if you could think about this for a minute, right?
If you had had the Pam Anderson NFT back in the day.
If you were to release...
The original.
If you were to release pieces of a celebrity sex tape via NFT and you owned it, that might be the thing. If there was a Betty White sex tape NFT,
oh my God,
it would go for thousands of dollars.
No, it wouldn't.
She's a national treasure.
Yeah, no one wants to see a national treasure getting cornholed. This is too much alcohol.
Don't say cornhole. Don't say cornhole. We've got a sense
of
that.
No one wants to see. You got to cut that out.
You got to cut that one out. Jack's not going to be happy.
No one wants to see that.
No,
literally,
but
no one wants to see Betty White on her back, legs in the air, just
listen,
rammed by.
If Donald Trump, I know he lost the election. Right? Yeah, Armagnac. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. So Donald Trump, there's this rumored tape of him with the Russian
peeing on a girl.
Yeah, no, the other way, right? I think she was peeing on him or something. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to say scat. I was gonna be like,
but
what?
But if that was released, that NFT would go for millions. Okay, here.
True. How do you open this? By the way,
this is fantastic. I love this. So these particular closures are quite hilarious. So just hold the bottle. Hold the bottle like this. Don't do that. You'll fuck your teeth up.
Okay.
Hold on to this.
Okay.
Okay, and I take your finger like this and push up on one side. No, listen, look at me. Grab it like this. Like that.
What the fuck? Why? Yeah,
it's super easy.
Easy?
It's super easy. Close it again. Close it again. Do it again. All right.
You know why it's easy? Because you told me to do it. Otherwise, it's like fucking childproof whiskey.
Correct. Which, right. That one shot off.
All right. Now it's dangerous. Okay. God, this show is out of control. You're out of order. This whole court is out of order.
Give it a swirl.
Yeah, let it breathe.
I'm in the glass, not in the bottle. That was the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen from any guest that's ever been on the show. He just straight up like this, like it's gonna fucking unlock some aromas.
Oh my God, I'm a fucking idiot. Oh God,
this is what happens when you do shots at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, this is what happens when you do shots of that junkie whiskey before you do sips of the good stuff. Holy fuck, that was funny. So this is called the Boss Rootin.
Boss Armagnac. Boss Armagnac. Yeah. So that is an XO Armagnac from France, from L'Incantata. There it goes.
Okay.
It's not around anymore, but you can actually find a blend that we did. We did a blend for Houston Bourbon Society at Specs. So you can find it around Specs in Houston and other Texas states or Texas cities, not Texas states, because Texas is its own state. But we did a version of that. It's just a blend of like a few barrels of Armagnac from 24 to 30 something years old.
Okay. So I've tried it while you were telling us about it. And I got to tell you, it tastes old.
Yes.
Like I thought the Ruth Bader Ginsburg would have tasted old.
Yeah. So
great. This was really good. This tastes like an old library book.
Like a Betty White NFT. Yes.
This tastes like Betty White getting cornholed by Mandingo, doggy style. That's what it tastes like.
Yeah, I'm definitely losing sponsors over this.
Just don't run this episode. Just put this on the Patreon. It's for subscribers only.
Yeah. I don't have have you done Patreon yet?
Yeah. This is one of the first things I did because I was like, look, if you're rocking with me and you want to support the show and support me, let's go. And, dude, the deckheads have been amazing. I have 119 Patreon members.
That's awesome, man.
It's the only thing keeping the show alive. And I say that, and I think they don't believe me when I tell them, but I'm like, look, yes, I have sponsors. I have I just signed a new sponsor and we're working on a show, like a title sponsor. So we've got a lot of sponsor stuff going, but sponsors are fleeting. It's why I lost my job in radio. I literally got laid off, not because our show was underperforming. We were number one, and not just in our time slot, but we were beating all drive time shows. We were number one in the market in sports talk several months in a row. I got laid off because I wasn't proactive enough to go out and get sponsors for me, not for the show, but for me. Right. So I learned my lesson, but again, sponsors come and go. It's your core group that they call it P1 in radio. It's your P1s that rock with you until the wheels come off.
And what is P1? What does PN mean?
It's just a radio term. It's like the people that when you do a remote, they show up. When you have a shirt for sale, they buy it. They listen every day. They're like, it's basically P1s are just your biggest fans, your biggest supporters, the people that are going to, they fuck with you no matter what. And when I got laid off from a very popular show in the sixth largest media market in the country, 119 people were like, bro, where you go, we go. And they followed me. And it's not, it's not thousands, it's not millions, but I would rather have 119 people truly supporting me than 5,000 people that don't give a shit, but maybe listen on occasion. It means the entire difference in survival.
There's a guy named Matt Raywalt who's been on the show a couple times. He was in the WWE as a wrestler. He's got a verified account with 300,000 people.
That's crazy.
But once he's transitioned from WWE to Bourbon,
yeah,
it's been hard to get that engagement rate to be the same. So he's struggling with whether or not he should start over, and he couldn't be a good guy or couldn't be a better guy. God, shots at the beginning of this is really fucking this whole thing up.
What's crazy is I feel more in control right now than you appear.
Yeah. How do I appear?
And I still swirled the bottle like a fucking idiot. Like, yeah, trust me, I'm not bragging. This is my cry for help. There's no reason that I should have more control of my words right now than you do.
I mean, do I do this
for a fucking living?
Do I appear super bust or do I seem?
No, but anyone that would say vaccine is.
I don't want to talk about that. That part we're cutting that part out of the show.
I swear to God, I'm recording this Zoom session. I will put this Barry on deck. Barry on BarryIsFunny.com. You will see the unedited version of this show.
Where can folks find you?
YouTube.com/BarryIsFunny, but only subscribe if you dig the show, as we were stating earlier. Come watch a couple episodes. If you like it, hang out, subscribe. I appreciate the follow and the views. Watch the show, enjoy it, interact with me. And then on Twitter, I'm at pretty much all social media at BarryIsFunny or at Barry on Deck. The show name or Barry is funny, either one.
And I will be on every Tuesday in perpetuity until Barry gets tired of talking to me. Thanks so much, man. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Good luck on your second shot of the vaccine.
Yeah.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.